The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Oh God, guys. Hey Noah.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm wearing your old shirt, so I feel like you're hugging me.
I know. I see you in my jacket that I used to wear on my show Not Safe on Comedy Central. If you want to see the jacket we're talking about, you can pull up the YouTube clip where I interview Riley Silverman, who is a trans comedian, but more than that, just a female comic who I interview about being trans. So anyway, that's so fun to be able to see the things that you used to wear on other people and realize that you want them back because they look cuter than they looked when you were going through your closet being like, I don't need this. This would look better on Noah. Like, I might borrow it back sometime, which is a beautiful thing.
Sure.
Whitney Cummings gave me a bunch of clothes when I hung out with her in December. I went over to her house and she was just like, this whole rack, you can like have whatever you want. And don't tell me that. I mean, that is... I wanted everything. It's so hard to show restraint when someone's like, you can have everything. When I was like just starting out, it was probably 2006. I had just moved to LA. I'd been on Last Comic Standing. I had a manager, but he was like a very young manager. So he was trying to prove himself to me. I was trying to prove myself to him. But he was at Brillstein, which I'm still with them. And he had a hookup to this guy that worked at the Puma celebrity like shop, where it's like literally you go in this warehouse and if you're a celebrity, you go in and you just like pick out everything you want and they just give it to you. And I got like $10,000 worth of Puma clothing and like shoes, workout stuff that I wasn't even wearing back then because I didn't work out, jackets, hats, hairbands, like anything you wanted. And I remember the guy that ran the celebrity center like knew I wasn't a celebrity. He was kind of like, they know, but they are working with the agent or the management company, so they let you in. But like, I remember the guy from Heroes coming in at the same time. Remember him? The Asian guy from Heroes. Forget his name, but he was big then. I mean, this was 2006 when Heroes, that show, just came out. He is a big fucking star. And he came in and, you know, did the same thing of like pointing and just like bagging up. I mean, it was wild. People couldn't believe. I probably got $8,000 worth of clothing. Yeah. It was Hero. He played Hero, but it's Masioka. He was in there, I remember. And it was just like, but I don't like that thing of like, my dream as a kid was doing that thing on Nickelodeon where they let the kids go through the toy store and just pick out everything. I mean, it's pretty much what being an American is once you reach a certain level of money. It's like being the kid from Big, like having whatever you want. But when things are free, this thing clicks in my head or like they're bargain, I have to have them, which I just want to talk to people a little bit about the psychology of that because I understand it a little bit more. I remember hearing, no, it wasn't Dr. Phil, but it was someone on Oprah back in the day talking about like money management and like how to save. And she's like, okay, when you have a coupon for something that's 50% off, it's not, what was her gist of it? It was like, let's do a pair of shoes because this is more money. Okay, you save $70 on a pair of shoes because you get them half off. This is Andrew with his Hawaiian shirt. He was like, it's $70. And I was like, that's a deal. That shirt is fucking ugly as shit. But I didn't say that until, yes, I did. I said it immediately. That $70 that you saved on that shirt, it's, you didn't save it if you go spend that $70. Like if you go, okay, well now I can go do this other thing. You didn't save the money. I mean, I guess that doesn't make as much sense because I'm thinking, oh, you could put it towards something you actually care about. But that's the gist of it, is like put it towards something you don't care, that you care about. Don't go spend it on like a Gatorade and a pack of gum and like shit you don't need at the gas station because you just saved that money on the other thing. Also, things are, I have to remember, I'm trying to think of the rule of thumb that I've used now to keep me, because now I can afford things that I want and I could really stock up. But now I actually, this is before I even had money. I agreed that like I read somewhere like, don't get a piece of clothing unless it's better than every piece of clothing you have. And that means you only are bringing in stuff that is going to stand the test of time. And, you know, that's not exact science, but it should be better than most of the things you have. I mean, this is like Marie Kondo stuff, but I've given away Marie Kondo things. And then, oh my God, I was doing an analogy last night about Marie Kondo because I was talking about how, oh, so I have a friend who, we're talking about guy stuff. I had two girlfriends over last night. It was so freaking fun. They came over. We just like hung out. We tried to watch TV, but there was nothing on. And so we just hang out and got room service and like talked. It was so freaking fun. And I got my hair cut. My friend Robin cut my hair during all that. We were going to go out, but we were like, why? Let's just order in. But we were talking about men and how we want them to be better and to take more chances. We want everyone to be better and to take risks in their life to like prove to you that they're worthy of you. Noah, you're nodding. Like, we want our men to like stand up and like risk something to be with us. This is what I was talking about the other day, like with the book that I'm reading. Like, when a man decides to commit to you monogamously and decides to not have sex with anyone else, whether it be like he's your boyfriend or your husband, that's a really big risk to his manhood. Even though he's a guy that might not be getting laid a lot or, you know, isn't scared of commitment, so it seems, that still you have to acknowledge that it goes against his biology to not want to fuck anything else or to agree to be with you. So that's like really important, and like you should honor that and be like excited that a man's willing to take that leap. Now, there are other things in a man's life that he might have to switch around to be with you too. Like, he might have to put up with this thing about your life that he doesn't really like, or, and you take risks too. But I'm just so like, we were talking about this guy in my friend's life who did a bold thing to be with her. Like, he was with someone else and he like decided to move out, right? Okay. So he's in a relationship and he moved out and he's like, I'm ready to be with you. And the girl's like, well, you still don't live in my city. You're just down the street. You're not living in the same place as the girl, but like you, and I understand you guys have things together. You can't exactly leave the area. And he's in this apartment and he's not furnished it. He's not done anything with it for 2 years. And it's like, he's still holding on to that because he's staying in the same neighborhood. He did take the leap and she's like, oh my God, yes, let's be together. And so now they're officially together, but it's like, he's not actually doing, he didn't do the full leap. He climbed up the high dive, which I know you're scared of heights, so that is so cool that you even got up there, but you haven't jumped yet. And that's what I do with Marie Kondo. I condo my whole room. I'll go through and do the hard part, right? The hard part is being like, babe, I love this other woman. I'm moving out and this isn't good anymore. And you get out your own place. That is really the hard part. But the consistent part that you need to also get, that a lot of men and women don't give in relationships, is they do the hard thing and you go, oh my God, he did it. He left her. He decided to quit that job. He decided to quit drinking for me. But then he's just quitting drinking and he's not actually trying to work a program that would keep him sober. Let's talk about that. Like, he's actually not doing the rest, but he did the hardest part. He quit, you know? Oh my God. Or he quit beer. Or he's just doing beer now. That's so much better because he used to love liquor. Oh my God. Thank you for doing that for me, babe. It's me with condo clothing. I go through my closet and I have these hard decisions of like, I wore this jacket at this thing, this thing, this thing. This is something I would like to give my daughter. Am I going to wear it anytime soon? I don't know. Will I be a zombie Kurt Cobain for Halloween some year? Maybe. And I'll think about the shirt and be like, why don't I have that shirt that would be perfect for my sexy zombie Kurt Cobain?
You still have that?
No, I don't. I don't still have any of the clothing that I wore during that. But like, you hold on to these things thinking maybe I'll wear it for a Halloween costume. And it's like, then go buy it. Go find it a thing, right? Then I put it all in a bag, right? And I'm so proud of myself. My closet looks clean. I organize my closet and I put it in this bag. And then that bag sits in my closet or in another room forever until I move out. And then I go through it again and I take things out. So we do this in every part of our lives where it's like, when you take those risks and you do the thing, go through with it all, like have a plan for the whole thing. Because I did it. I cleaned the beach one day and I picked up trash on the beach and I picked up a huge trash bag of trash. And then I brought it back to our room and it was there until the day we left. A month later, it was still on our porch. And then I went and threw it away. And I just, Because I'm scared of throwing out trash. Like, I'm scared of giving away clothes. I'm scared that it's going to end. I'm putting it in a landfill. But it's not. It's all going to a landfill eventually. Get it out of your room. Yes. So that is, I don't know what I meant by all of that, but it was a good analogy last night. Maybe it helped someone. Let's bring Andrew in. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Nick.
Welcome to Thursday's show. It's the end of the week. How'd you sleep last night, buddy?
Pretty good.
You look a little sleepy, sleeps.
Do I?
Yeah, you look a little bit like you just woke up.
I have a whole morning.
I know that's an insult.
Morning routine going. I'm surprised.
I know your routine.
What's my routine? Go through it.
Okay, you get up. You walk to the kitchen. You kind of stumble to the kitchen blindly. You kind of like open the fridge, but then you remember that you don't eat until later. And then you kind of like walk around the island a couple times. Then you put on your gym clothes. Well, this is when I used to be out at the island. This is what you do. You walk out. You walk around the island a couple times. Realize you don't eat in the morning. Watch me eat. Kind of talk to me. Then you go in. You put on your workout clothes. And then you go to the gym eventually. And then you, which is like within the next half hour, you go to the gym. No. You go down and get a coffee. Then you go back up to the common area and you sit and you sip your coffee in the common area on the third floor, which is a lovely area with billiard room and it overlooks the pool. You sip that coffee and then you wait for it to kind of kick in. And then when it kicks in, you go to the gym and you get a little workout. And then you go back upstairs and you finally eat.
None of this is my new thing is I wake up.
Whoa.
I lay in bed. I try to go back to sleep for an hour. It doesn't work. I get frustrated. I go in the shower. I shower, brush my teeth because my toothbrush is on my floor in there. I still have a coffee stirrer on the floor in there. I don't know when that happened.
I think that's probably from January.
Yeah. It's been a while. Then I come in. I drink one of my hydrated drinks. I forget the name of the brand. Oh, I apologize. And then I go downstairs.
Not to me. I don't want to hear it.
I go downstairs. I get a coffee from our new Keurig coffee machine that has Starbucks beans in there. Then I come up. I have my coffee. I make flaxseed oil. Or not flaxseed oatmeal. Then with protein.
Mm-hmm.
I copied you. Completely stole your morning breakfast.
Of course.
And I apologize for that, but I can't apologize because it's so easy to make.
I know. It's so delicious and easy. We talked about it on an earlier episode. You got to go back and find it if you want to know what the oatmeal is. Or DM one of us. But I would recommend DMing me because Andrew probably doesn't do it exactly right with the right... like, I would like to make yours someday because I think I could make it better for you.
Look.
Because I'm an expert at oatmeal, protein powder, stevia, almond milk combo.
Yeah, but the problem with that is the person will make it. You'll make it great, and then I can't recreate it, and then I'm frustrated every time.
I'll teach you my ways. 2 minutes, put more water in than you think because you're adding protein powder, so don't put the same amount of water you would put in a regular bowl of oatmeal. Duh. You can put it all in the same time, and then when you put it in for 2 minutes, press the 30-second button 4 times, pull it out. Add a little almond milk to make it cool down a little bit. Stir it. It's probably too cool. Throw it back in for another 30 seconds. Boom. You got yourself some half. I eat 2 bowls of that shit. Like, I really slam those every single morning, and I have for, God, a year
it's
now.
It's great.
It's so good.
It makes me shit good. Everything's good.
It fills me up. Yeah. Oh, God, that made me think of the porn I was watching last night.
Oh, God.
This girl at one point was like, I feel so... filled up and stretched out at the same time. And I was like, that's a good line.
Filled up, stretched out. That's the way I like to fuck. Wait, what is that even?
Yeah.
How can you be? I guess if you're stretched out, you're filled up. I mean, it makes sense.
This lady had a lot of things going in her. And so she felt filled up and to accommodate all these things, a little stretched out.
I see you rolling up to a gas station when you get back here and throwing the 87, 89, and the 93 in that puss.
Oh, right. Like me putting, like when I go fill up my car, yeah. I haven't even got the diesel in the, I just put it in the muffler, even though that it's pouring out everywhere.
I told you when I filled my car up with diesel.
I mean, that is so
dude,
sad.
Dude, I couldn't even get it into, I was driving through the night. It was like.
Right. There were like a million things that were stopping you from doing it. Like the button wouldn't work. Then the thing wouldn't even go in your
car.
Dude,
I was at this old school gas station in Florida, like by Destin area. There was like nothing around. And then one side is diesel and one side's regular gas. So I went on the diesel side and I'm thrusting the diesel because it doesn't fit into a normal gas tank, and I shove it in, and I fill up my whole tank, my silver Xterra, with $40 of diesel, and then when I go to put it in, I go, oh, that's not right. That's diesel. What does that mean? Like, I didn't even know what it meant. Next thing I know...
I know. That's what I said to Robin last night. How do these men survive? So, you didn't know what a SIM card was.
But at 2 a.m., they call this guy. They're like, well, we got a guy to take care of it. They call the local handyman. It's like a population of like 40 in this town. And he shows up at 2 in the morning in a wife beater. I think he's also the mayor. And he siphons the gas with his mouth and spits it out. And takes out all $40 of diesel, but the engine kept stopping it. So he did it for like 2 hours, siphoned it out. And I go, what do I owe you? And he's like, I just wanted to do a good deed. I was like, no, man, I'm going to give you the money. I go, how much? He's like, $100. I go, give me your address. I'm sending it right when I get home. And your boy never sent it.
Andrew, I'm aghast.
I am too, aghast. I'm a diesel gassed.
Come on, man.
Dude, I wish if you're listening by the grace of God in 2000.
Can you find maybe that gas station? You got to give someone $100 to make this world right, like a random person who needs it. I'm serious, dude. This will make you feel better.
I know. In 2001, that if you sucks. Siphoned an Xterra with your mouth for 2 hours in the middle of the night around Destin area, let me know.
No. You just got to put it out there because you're not going to find this guy. He's probably dead from having to ingest the gasoline that he siphoned. Like, it got into his gum line probably. And death absorbs, death comes from the gums.
Death gums.
We all know that. That's why you're flossing more, right? Or at least chewing on things. Or chewing on the Starbucks plastic.
Since we've had this conversation, I am 65% brushing before I go to bed.
Love it. See, I love, that's the thing I like about you, Drew, is that you will actually take the things that I recommend for your better life and you put them, if they work for you, you add them in
65%. Look, I'm happy with 65. That's a regular D, and with a curve, that's a C minus. So
I don't know how I'm going to get you to say regular instead of regular, but that is
Look, if we keep talking about gas.
Who cares?
I'll get there. If we have a bunch of gas stories, how did you sleep? You slept late wearing your multicolored robe. I love this robe.
Well, I wasn't wearing this, but I do love this robe.
Jacob.
I was sweating a lot last night because I can't keep my AC down. Like, it just stays at 71.
You keep this AC down.
I do, regular.
87.
I just sweated so much, and I got a spray tan 2 nights ago, and I sweated like the colors that came from my sweat made it pink and blue and or like it was like this technicolor, like it looked like
your robe.
I mean, it really did look like I'm trying to think of what it looked like. It looked like an alien gave birth on the bed. Like it looked like. Not blood, but it was just beautiful. It's like this watercolor of like pink and purple because all these colors are in this spray tan. And the maid was like, and I had to go to walk her in and go, listen, this is spray tan. I promise you, but I'm trying to explain it because I didn't speak her language because she was speaking gibberish. Just kidding. I can.
You're like giddy guy, giddy.
The guy can the gants the geek. Yeah. If the giffy the goo, kid the gan, the gun to the girse, the gan, the gee, were the guide, the gal, with the gill, you the goo, to the gee, the gam, the gee, me, the gee, the gan, to the gal, the gee, the gat, the goo, kid the gan, the gun to the girse, the gan.
She was like, no, I'm a teenager.
I know. I only speak in gibberish to maids.
Do you feel like it's worth it then? You're a big component of spray tan. I got two.
Did you say a component? What'd you say it was?
Tomatoes.
No. What did you say?
You're a big component of spray tans.
Okay. I just want to play back because I think you did say component. I'm a big proponent, which is a word that is like hard to... I won't give you shit about that, but it was adorable. I'm a big component of spray tans. And when I'm...
You almost said component for real, though, I feel like.
No, I was saying it as a joke.
It felt component-y.
I would... I was compelled.
Water.
Compelled. I slept badly. I don't know what's going on with me. I sleep so much, but I've been exhausted. I've done like a million podcasts over the past 4 days, and this is the one that I love the most. But I've just, people can't really, I don't think my podcast style is for everyone. I talk a lot and I just want to take over the podcast. And I met with a lot of, I'll say like a thing where I'll go and like end on a really, I think is a funny note. And the podcast host is just like, wow. Okay. Well, on that note, like I get met with so many on that notes where people are just like kind of weirded out by me. And it makes me feel again, like I'm the girl in high school who, one time I was working out like 10 years after we graduated, and I was at the local gym when I was back home, and this girl from school who was a friend of mine in high school, like peripherally, was, I saw her and she saw me working out and she came over and she was like, "Oh my God, Nikki, good to see you." And I was like, "It's been so long." And she was like, "Oh my God, I was working, I was watching you the whole time and you are still such a spaz." And I was just like, what? Like, I didn't know I was a spaz. Like, everyone just always looked at me as a kid and like kind of like, yikes. Like, when Joe Rogan said I was a lot, that really hurt me because I don't realize I'm a lot, but I'm a fucking lot. I talk so fast. I'm really sorry about it. It's only gotten worse. I think it's something I have to like get looked at. Like, I talk too fast. I'm like that guy on Saved by the Bell, the teacher. Mr. Testaverde's midterm, and he would talk like this, blah, 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 and they would like write in their notebooks to try to keep up. And Jessie would start, and the smoke would come from her pencil because she was writing so fast.
On that note,
you were waiting so long to say that.
I didn't think I had to wait as long as I did.
Yeah, I know. That's what I made you wait because I'm a spaz.
What were you doing so spazzy? You think?
On these podcasts, or like when I worked out?
Why would she call you a spaz?
You know me, when you move, Andrew. Fast. Like everything I do is like herky jerky. Like I press on buttons fast on the treadmill, probably, and I'm like over. I'm done, and then it's done, and then I like take my sweat towel and I'm like I put it on my like everything I do.
But why is it hard?
My makeup artist Robin.
But why do you think
says
that
everything you do is abusive? Like I take contacts out fast. I like put moisturizer on fast. I wash my face like. Kirsten right now, my best friend from fourth grade and on, is laughing because she always used to make fun of me. When I plop down on a couch, the couch almost breaks. If I was like a heavier person, I would break so much furniture. So it's not about, I'm just not gentle and I wish I were, but it's just not who I am.
Well, you're gentle until you do, you're gentle 99% of the time. It's just the 1% when you're doing something, putting a box away or whatever. I don't know.
And I just get really rough. That's why things break. And my mom throughout my childhood, you don't ever deserve to have nice things. You don't get to have nice things because you don't treat things with respect. You break everything you have. And so I just grew up thinking like, I'm just a piece of trash of like, I really truly have struggle having nice things because I know I will break them. But the truth is now I'm like, things are meant to be broken. You shouldn't have plastic on your couch forever. You shouldn't have keep things in cases and like just look at them, use them. Yes, put a case on your phone so it doesn't crumble before your eyes when you're in a foreign country, Andrew Collin. Like protect the things that you're rough with, but don't be delicate with everything. This ain't for the best.
My reputation's never been worse.
He must like me for me. We're singing the song Delicate by Taylor Swift, one of my favorite songs. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Hey out there, everybody. I hope everyone's having great and fun time and swells. Okay, so...
Okay. Wow, that's really taken a turn. Or like you're just having a lot of liberties with that, and I like it. Let's get into it.
You can tell when someone loves a liberty when they point out a liberty.
No, I liked it. It's going into different directions. Yeah, it's always a treat for me to see what you do.
I want to keep people guessing.
It doesn't. I don't think it's okay. Yes, go on.
A woman on TLC's Sex Sent Me to the ER says she had a 4-hour orgasm and now has orgasms on a regular basis without stimulation, as many as 12 spontaneous prolonged orgasms a day. She could be just sitting around, watching TV. Next thing you know, the girl's coming. She couldn't stop orgasming after sex with a partner, Eric. A lot of women are trying to find out his last name. Caused a physically, emotionally, and mentally taxing 4-hour pleasure. So now she just comes, I mean, like she can't even control it.
I need to interview this woman. Wait, 4 hours. Was Eric just like, what the fuck is happening, and just waited? Or did he like go about his day and come back? Did he go fill up his gas tank, get some errands done, and then he came back and she was still going? Like, I want to. And what happened to Eric? Oh my God, she is in love with Eric.
I think Eric drowned in a puddle. But I think what happened.
We lost Eric that day.
I think she came and then just didn't stop coming. I think it was like one come and he didn't keep going. She just kept going.
No, she said the first one was 4 hours, and then after that it was unrecover. Then it was 12 a day.
Meaning like 4 hours of straight orgasm, not from Eric though. I think it's just from.
I know, but I'm wondering if Eric, once she started coming, just kind of bore witness to it and like set up a chair and watched her.
Oh, I got you. I get it.
He probably came and then left.
Yeah.
But she started coming, and I mean, that sounds really terrible. And I know everyone's like, that would be amazing. No, it fucking wouldn't. That would really suck. I have a lot of compassion for this woman who's struggling with that. And man, I have a lot of compassion for a woman who had an intimate moment that set off this obviously psychological response of like, obviously it's physical, but this guy she loves or like had a very, what did it say? It was set off because of their intimate.
They're
like
physically, emotionally, and mentally taxing.
Is that her? Oh, actors recreated scenes. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. Eric has hair in real life.
Well, the guy that played in Eric is bald. Listen, that guy could fuck. Look at that guy. I think that guy's sexy. He has a fully shaved head, which is what Prince William should do to his whole head. We decided.
And eyebrows.
Liz has started to have orgasms on a regular basis without stimulation. It's very physical, emotionally, and mentally taxing experience. Yeah, I agree. Like, when you let that animal out of the cage, it's hard to like make it stop sometimes. And like my first orgasm bound me to somewhat like, my first orgasm was with, you know, comedian Pete Lee when he went down on me when I was 20. And it was like, I was already in love with him. Or I wasn't really, but that sealed the deal. It's like someone gave you that experience. And then I was like, so in love, I couldn't stand it. And it was because of the orgasm.
But
so
have you ever had
like
an orgasm?
These things are very...
At another time where you were just sitting around or like not getting pleasured, have you ever had a phantom?
No, No, mine are very elusive and I have to track them down in the night and wait for them and be steady and still and go on blacked raw for 45 minutes.
Would you rather?
Yeah, they're really hard for me.
Would you rather have multiple orgasms throughout the day or very tough to orgasm?
You couldn't get work done if you're coming all day. Like that's a disability. Yeah. I mean, this woman could obviously like it would suck. And I've heard stories of this kind of thing before, and it's always funny to joke about, but it seems like pure hell.
Yeah.
Because orgasms are kind of painful because to me at least, because they feel like you go like, do they feel like this way to you guys at all? Or am I totally like, they feel like someone's tickling me. Like I'm laughing, but I'm also like, stop. It's too much. And then you like relax and then you're able to let it like fully the orgasm go through you. And then it's not uncomfortable, but the build up is like, oh my God. Like it's like going on a roller coaster of like, oh, I'm scared. It's too much. And then it feels like the release. And then you're just like, okay, I'm letting go. Does that mimic what you guys feel?
Noah, you probably should answer this since you have a vagina.
Well, I mean, I'll go either way. Yeah.
The best way that I can describe it is if I were to take a seltzer bottle and shake it and then screw off the top.
Yeah.
And it like slowly like erupts and then it's like, bah.
But when you're shaking that seltzer, is your body going like, I don't know if I want this. I'm scared. This is too much. Like being tickled and held down kind of thing.
I don't feel that, but I know that I have to be in like a very concentrated place in order to get to that explosion. So I can't move. Okay. I can't like think or do anything else. It just has to be completely present.
Mine is like my body. I've gotten past it, but my body like fights it. But I understand that how that could be the same feeling, just different interpretations of it. Andrew, is there any like part of your body that's like doesn't want it, that fights it? Do you relate to that at all?
Yeah,
Does any listener out there relate to me?
I relate to you a lot because
it feels like getting tickled by your cousin who's pinning down your arms and you're like, this is like making me laugh and it feels like amazing, but it's like, stop it, stop it, stop it.
I relate to you.
But there's no release
because
with a tickle.
Of taking an antidepressant and taking Zoloft, my brain does need to get. Before, I used to just come. I wouldn't even. I'm not even.
But is the buildup, was there any like anxiety in the buildup of like coming, like when you're about to, where you're like, no, not now? Like, I constantly, orgasms will start to come for me when I'm masturbating with porn, and I'll push them down because I'm like, it's not good enough yet. Like, I want this to be better.
Yeah.
Do you push them down like that? Noah,
sometimes,
do you relate to that?
Sometimes if I'm having sex, not when I'm jerking off. When I'm jerking off, I'm just like, let's get this done so I can, you know, do Zumba.
Oh, I want it to be like magical.
I'm the opposite of Andrew.
What do you mean?
Like with sex, it's like, okay, just happen. I don't want to lose it. But if I'm masturbating, then it's like, okay, wait, I'll wait.
Because you're still dependent on someone else feeling fulfilled by your orgasm. Probably because you don't want to, you're not going to let down the computer, but you might let down your partner if you don't grab it while it's there.
It's not that. It's just like, I have a certain time limit. Where, like, after a certain time passes, I'm, like, no longer into it.
Yeah, your computer can stay on. But your partner might not be able to get you to the later ones. That makes sense.
Right.
But I don't like to come unless, like, there are sometimes when I'm with a partner and I'm, like, I could. But I'm, like, it's going to be so much better if they tell me I can't. And then I have to wait for the next one. So I literally will tell a guy, tell me I can't come. And he's, like, what? I'm, like, just trust me on this. I want to so bad, but do everything you can to make me come right now. Like, do everything that you think that would make, like, try your hardest, but demand that I not be able to. Like, say that if I do it, you're going to be really upset with me and that I'm a dumb, like, that I'm a better whore than this. Stuff like that. Like, you could do better. Like, don't you fucking come. And then when I'm, like, begging, or like when I've just given up, then you're like, you better come or I'm going to be fucking mad. And then you make me come. And that is the fucking hottest shit ever. And it's hard to get someone to do that because it's like telling someone to be dominant to you. But it does work. And you can get them there. You can train someone to like do that. If
it's
that's,
an interesting approach. Because as a guy, I think sometimes we could we'll like have to come in the first 45 seconds. Like it'll be like. So intense.
Yeah.
And you pull out. And what I used to do when I was coming very quick, I'd grab the head of my penis to keep the cum from coming out. I don't know. It worked somehow.
But wouldn't it
work? Yeah,
would.
It works.
It would work.
But then you do that. And then to get the cum to come back around, once you tell it to go home, it's very difficult.
If you had a girl saying don't fucking, because you're like me in the bedroom, like we're both like to be dominated a little bit. Like I think you would probably what I just described, a girl saying that to you, if someone's listening that might sleep with you, would be good of being like, Andrew, like don't fucking come. And then later on, it would be much easier for you to come if she was just telling you not to would make you want to, and then not doing the thing of don't come or you better come from me. Like, that would probably make too much pressure on you. But I bet you would benefit from someone being don't. And because you like being told not to, and then you're going to do it. So I think that could be a fun dynamic with you and your lady if you want to try it out.
I have been more dominant lately, which I've been loving. I do doggy style on the floor looking at the mirror, which I don't.
So you're looking at yourself, but you feel sexy when you're with this girl. That's one of the things that you told me about her that I loved, was like, she's the first woman that you've been with, or not maybe the first, but you feel like you're turning her on with your body and your aura, which is like made me kind of, I'm sorry to share that because that to me was like a very vulnerable thing you shared with me. But that to me was so sad that men don't get to feel like sexy as much as women, because if a woman said to me, this is the first guy that's ever made me feel sexy, I'd be like, what the fuck have you been living? Like, that is no way to live. But for a man, women don't often say, like, you're so sexy. And guys like to hear that, too. It's so nice that you have that.
Yeah.
But it took you 40 years.
And you read my journal without asking. But whatever. Okay, so.
It didn't take you 40 years. I hate when people go, it took me 40 years to find the woman I'd marry. I'm like, were you trying to get laid when you were 7? Let's take some years off of that. Like, only go for the years you were trying.
I say the same thing about Jews crossing the desert. I was like, 40 years? Really? Really?
Like, let's add up how much they really tried.
All right. So,
when you were 7, you were trying to cross the desert.
Yeah, right, Moses. Okay. So, T-Pain is
next story. Yeah. Oh yeah,
T-Pain. This isn't related to the orgasm lady. New story. T-Pain is just now figuring out about the message request folder on IG.
Yeah, did everyone see this?
And put a TikTok video out showing that he's accidentally ignored a ton of celebrity DMs, which is
so
kind of
cool.
For
those of you who don't know,
kind of cool to show how many DMs.
This was very cool. I saw this morning. So yeah, it's the dumb TikTok voice of like, I found out about, so T-Pain is sitting there smiling with the green screen kind of image behind him. And he's going, the green screen image is showing all of his DM requests, which is a special folder if you're anyone above 10,000 followers that puts the requests of people you don't necessarily know into another folder. You have to go into that folder to see people who are requesting you. I go into that folder 100 times a day. Andrew's probably around the same time, like just to see blue check marks might be sliding in. Fans might be sending me pictures or videos of their warts. I go in there constantly. By the way, if you do have warts to send me or any video, please send them to the Nikki Glaser podcast at gmail.com. Please label your subject wart so that I don't click on something else. And we'll go from there. Thank you so much again for sending those in. But this folder he's going through has so... Now, he sorted it by importance. Like, you can sort this folder and get only the blue check marks. And it just shows so many celebrities trying to talk to him that he hasn't spoken to because he didn't know about this folder. And it's like, who's in there? Viola Davis's assistant,
Fergie,
on her account.
Diplo.
Fergie.
Like, people that would probably want to...
Tyler Cameron from The Bachelor.
I mean, someone like Diplo or like Fergie, someone that would probably want to work with him or want. So he probably lost out on probably over a few million dollars not being able to check this, to be honest. But if his life is happy, there's like a lesson to be learned there that like, oh, just because you missed these opportunities, it really didn't affect you because you never knew about them.
No, didn't affect him. And it's all meant to be. Like, he's going to get, people always go, oh my God, I didn't do that thing. We could have done that. Like, we missed, like, when we do a recording and it fucking fucks up, or like T-Pain missed out on all these opportunities, the fact that now T-Pain is making this video of all the requests is going to end up being more good for him than if he would have followed through with these. So like every mistake or thing that you're like, I didn't even know I could have been doing this the whole time, I promise you that will lead to better things than you thought it would have if you discovered it sooner.
Not to mention,
it's a good story that like Andrew put the diesel in.
Not to mention that Diplo or like these people that aren't getting written back, they always get written back. So the fact that T-Pain isn't writing back, they're like, dude, I gotta work with T-Pain. Like,
it's such
it's like
a great
when you fall
point.
Asleep and not text someone back and they think you're cool, but you just passed out.
But you just took a nap in the middle of the day when they thought that you were just like ignoring them.
It's the best move
it's
ever.
It's so fucking good. Yeah, if you can do that, I mean, I hate that people only want what they can't have or seemingly can't have, but it fucking works.
It does work. Okay, next story. The data is out about the most popular baby names around the world. Arlo is like the top of the list on like so many different countries.
No.
Like
Arlo?
Arlo's everywhere. I don't know if the movie came
That's
out later.
Nephew's name.
I don't know. Luna.
What movie?
There was a movie called Arlo.
No. Really? Argo?
Argo.
Are you serious?
Okay.
Are you serious? That's what you thought the movie... Wait. Hold on.
I'm a big proponent of it.
Is that what you were thinking, the Ben Affleck movie?
Yes, I was.
He thought my nephew's name was Argo.
No, I thought it... Arlo was the name of the movie. I really did.
You thought that the Ben Affleck movie where they are trying to escape a country that might... I forget what they were doing there, but that's a great fucking movie.
Okay, and then Luna is the number one girl name.
Luna, we know a
Luna.
Yeah,
I love Luna. I love the
name. What a beautiful name. What would you name your... Okay, so tell us some more. I love these kind of things.
Well, essentially...
those are going to be the names of every... Like, no one's going to be Nicole's or Andrew's or Alex's.
Nicole's number 246 on the list.
Okay, so she's still up
and
there.
And Andrew's like in the 40s, so...
Okay, he's still doing well, too.
But yeah.
But it won't be as common. I mean, what were the most popular baby names in 19... Let's see, when we were born. 1984 baby names. That's when I was born, at least.
Yeah, 4 years before that was probably similar.
Okay, yeah, it's probably... Okay, so it makes sense. So the most popular names... What's the number one name again for
girl names
babies
in
right
America.
Now?
Girl names in America. Luna.
Right now.
Maeve. Aurora.
These are number one.
Aurora, Isla, and...
Are these new ones or most common? Because that seems insane. These are like new ones showing up. These aren't the most common.
Well, that's what it says. And
I'm looking up 2020. I feel like this cannot Aurelia. Be...
And then boys' names is...
Aurelia?
Silas.
Old Renegade. okay, I'm sorry to tell you guys. In 2020,
yeah.
The most popular baby name was Sophia for a girl. Liam for a boy.
But it's 2021.
Wait, hold on, still low. I understand that, but we're not even through the whole year. I'm just going, if none of those names are showing up in the top for 2020, then I think these are probably the most like popular growing names. You know what I mean?
Well, boy names, Silas, Atticus, Arlo, Theodore, Finn.
Liam, Noah, Jackson, Aiden, Elijah, Grayson, Lucas, Oliver, Caden, Mateo, Muhammad, Mason, Carter, Jaden, Ethan, Sebastian, James. Then we go, girls, this is 2020. Number one, Sophia, Olivia, Riley, Emma, Ava, Isabel, Aria, Aaliyah, Amelia, Mia, Layla, Zoe, Camila, Charlotte. That's the top 14.
I love how they're all like in the like A's. Like people are lazy.
Let's do 1984. Ready?
Yeah.
Jennifer, Jessica, Ashley, Amanda, Sarah, Stephanie, Nicole, Melissa, Heather, Elizabeth, Megan, Crystal, Amy, Tiffany, Rachel. That's top 15. Boys, Michael, Christopher, Matthew, Joshua, David, Daniel, James, John, Robert, Joseph, Jason, Ryan, Justin, Andrew, Brandon. Andrew's coming in at 14.
You know what that sounded like? That sounded like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. You're like, John, Jerry, Jeff, John. When he names his
okay,
brothers.
Let's do baby names 1950. This is really fun for me. I don't know if it's fun
like
for anyone
it.
Else, but I feel like I would be interested in this if I were listening. Okay, so in 1950, most popular baby names, and this is America, I believe, for both of these. Maybe not the one that said Muhammad in it, but maybe. I don't know. Muhammad is obviously the most popular name ever. Number one is this 1950 baby names, top 15. Here we go. James, Michael, Robert, John, David, William, Richard, Thomas, Mark, Charles, Stephen, Gary, Joseph, Donald, Ronald. Then we got Mary, Linda, Patricia, Susan, Deborah, Barbara, Deborah, Deborah, Barbara, Deborah with a B-R-A, Karen, Nancy, Donna, Cynthia, Sandra, Pamela, Sharon, Kathleen. And then we go into Carol, Diane, Brenda, Cheryl, Janet, Liz, Elizabeth. I mean, this is so fun. Wait, should we try 1920 just for fun? 1923, and then I'll be done, okay? Because this is interesting because these are like our grandma's names, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your grandparents' names were.
I got a Jean and a Margaret and then a Bob and a Edward. What about you?
Bob and an Edward. Oh, you did the women first. Okay. I thought Jean might have been your... I have a Henry and Shirley and,
oh,
and
yeah, those
Marvin
are
and Selma.
Oh, my God. Noah, what do you got rocking for grandparents' names and parents' names?
You don't even want to ask me.
Really?
Because I have Eastern European yeah, descent.
Exactly. Okay. Well, what's the weirdest name out of all of them? And not by weird, I mean one that Americans haven't heard as much.
My grandfather's name is Sebastian.
Ooh.
Can
that's
we just
a great
hear the
names?
Name. I kind of want to hear them. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're like okay, T-Pain.
yeah, open those requests and give us those grandparents' oh names. You're like Viola Davis.
Okay. So I have three sets of grandparents. So it's Sebastian and Leah. Betty,
okay. Leas,
Betty yep. and Lotsy.
Betty is the number five name for girls in 1923.
Lotsy? I like that. It's like lazy yeah.
Lotsy's
with a twist.
And then Esther and David.
Oh,
Esther's a great name.
I thought they were going to be like,
yeah, like, you were like
question mark.
You don't even want to know. You don't even want to ask my grandfather's name. David.
Whoa, dude.
No,
what?
Whoa. Whoa. Okay, 1923, baby names. Here we go, boys. Number one, John, Robert, William, James, Charles, George, Joseph, Edward, Richard, Donald, Thomas, Frank, Harold, Paul, Raymond. And then we go into Walter. Walter is a great name to bring back. If you're naming a baby, I think Walter is so cute. Here we go. Girl names, Mary, Dorothy, Helen, Margaret, Betty, Ruth, Virginia, Mildred. Number eight was Mildred, 1923. Elizabeth, Frances, McDormand, Doris, Evelyn, Anna, or Anna, Marie, Alice. And then Marjorie is number 16. Taylor Swift's grandmother's name is Marjorie. The song Marjorie on her second album of the quarantine called Evermore is one of the best and saddest songs and would have topped my list yesterday if I hadn't come up with something else.
What do you think? What would you name your kid? And your experience with your sister and brother-in-law with their naming of their kids, whether they tell, do they tell you during the pregnancy
No.
or after the baby's born?
They only tell us after, and it's announced pretty much like, because they don't want our reactions
yeah.
to, like, they don't want to go, like, we're floating around these names, and we go, eh, because famously, and I put it on my Instagram yesterday, let me just read it to everyone, famously in my family, I'm going to do it as a main post on Poppy's birthday, but my niece Poppy was, her birth was announced almost two years ago. It was May 3rd, 2019. And this was the text that came in at 3 a.m. And this was, she was born at 2:37 a.m. And this came in at 3 a.m. My time in New York. I was in my bed. I woke up in the middle of the night, knew my sister was in labor and things were going well, but knew, like, was waking up on the hour to get this text. It was a mass text to my dad, my mom, and my brother-in-law, or like my brother-in-law sent it. It was to my mom and my dad and me. Poppy Louisa Green, a picture of the baby, but above it, Poppy Louisa Green, 5/3/19 at 2:37 a.m., 7 pounds, 13 ounces, 19 inches. And then I didn't wake up until the morning, or I didn't wake up until, I guess, 2 hours later. My mom gets the text almost immediately at, what time was it? My mom gets it at like, almost writes back immediately at 3 a.m. and says, is that really her name? That's what she writes back to the text of the birth announcement. And then nothing after that. And then I write back, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Love the name. She's perfect. Congrats, Lauren and Matt, blah, blah, blah. And my mom never responds again. Like, we haven't talked to my mom since. No, we have. No, my mom was not drinking. She was in the middle of the night. She thought they were joking about the name. And I go, you thought they were joking when they wrote the ounces, the weight? Why didn't you go, 7 pounds, 13 ounces, is that really her weight? That would have been a funnier text. So my mom will never live it down that she thought Poppy's name was fake, because it was such a different name than we had thought. They did the same thing with Arlo when they named their baby Arlo. At first, everyone was kind of like, ugh. But then you were like, oh my God, there's no better name for Poppy and Arlo. So I can't wait to hear the third kid's name. It's like, I'm more excited about that than the kid.
Yeah, my...
And what would you name your kid? Wait, you gotta get to sports. Let's final thought, okay. Kid names.
Well, my brother named his last... So, anyways, I wouldn't...
Oh, you have amazing nephew names. What are they?
Well, August, Augie, Leo, and Isidore, and they call him Sid, which I love.
So, I love that,
too. And then my
too.
Little brother named his kid Theodore, and they call him Teddy. I mean, they are. They're they did very well.
So good. Great names.
But there's
Noah, what's your nephew? Sorry.
My nephew's name is Gerard.
Okay. Not great. I'm just kidding.
That's how I was feeling.
No, I've never heard a child named Gerard.
That's
great
the one
kid,
you
though.
Should keep to yourself.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, Gerard is such a cute boy. Like, any name that you usually think of, like an old grizzled man with a piano bar that, like, has a place called Gerard's, which is what my mom used to go to this piano bar and, like, drink with her friends at a place called Gerard's, and the Gerard would be at the bar. That's what I think of your nephew.
Yeah.
But he's just a kid that likes to play Fortnite with his aunt, Noah.
Roblox.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Andrew,
no, so I would,
what were you going
to
say?
So, like, if you were to have kids, Nikki, and you went with, like, Poppy or Arlo yourself, I don't think your brother or your brother-in-law or sister would be stoked about that. They don't. Whoever gets the kid named first, you can't name the... Like, my little brother's name is Sam, and then my uncle named our first cousin Sam as well. So that would be kind of the same exact thing.
I can't name... If I name my kids Poppy or Arlo, it would be insane. What are you talking about?
No, but my little brother's name is Sam, and then we have a first cousin also named Sam. They did that.
Yeah, that's really... But that's not okay.
I think if you grow up in different states, it might work.
Wait, was Sam based on a great someone in your lineage?
Well, Jews will take the first initial of someone that died recently and go from there.
There's a lot of S names. You could do Sarard. No, don't do that. Don't do anything that relates to Gerard. That's a terrible name for a child. Just kidding, Gerard. You're so cute, and I love you, and I'm just joking. My nephew's name Gerard-ed is Arlo, which me. It sounds like he should be... Oh, no.
Maybe we can't do don't that. Get the... We could take that out, I
no,
guess.
No, I mean, no, that's so okay, funny. Right. Gerard-ed is so funny. No, don't take it out.
Okay, don't.
But I don't want Gerard to hear this. But I bet Gerard is going to be a strong enough kid to handle whatever comes with that name. If he has a cool aunt like Noah, she'll beat his... anyone's ass that tries to fuck with Gerard.
But that being said, I would name my kid a boy. I would go, I like my grandparents' names. I like Marvin or Henry. I think I'd bring back Marvin. I love my...
Marvin is a great name for a boy. Like, everyone be like, Marvin, what? We haven't heard that in so long. It's so
good. Short, Marv. And then woman, I'd go with Cunthead and Twatface.
So you're naming after your mom?
You son of a bitch. Yes.
It's a family name.
It's a family name. You're right. What would you go with?
All right,
what
let's get to your
name?
Sports moment. Oh. Well, I guess you'll have to wait for the final thought.
Oh, shit.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Man, you sound thrilled again. It almost sounds like a recording. Okay. Retired boxer Floyd Mayweather and YouTube star Logan Paul have agreed to fight at the Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday, June 6th. Mm. So...
okay.
So Floyd Mayweather is this retired boxer.
I know who Floyd Mayweather is.
Okay. All right. So he's never lost, ever. No one has even touched him. He's been hit solid one time. He's
why isn't he as good as Muhammad Ali then? Why don't people talk about him like that?
They have.
If he's never lost.
They do. They say he's...
but he's just not as
Well, he just...
he's kind of a...
Muhammad Ali kind of changed the world. I mean, Floyd Mayweather, owns strip clubs,
But in terms of athletic capability and achievement, he's up there.
Yeah.
Why is he fighting Logan Paul? What's going on, Andrew?
So this is the problem. Logan Paul, this is what they've been doing. Logan Paul and Jake Paul, big trolls on YouTube, but they've made a name for themselves. They are smart with their marketing, but they just troll. They figured out they've worked really hard boxing, but the idea that Logan Paul, who is 40 pounds heavier than Floyd Mayweather, could beat him...
and 40 years younger.
Yes, but he will not touch Floyd Mayweather. I will bet.
I mean, this will be so exciting to watch because who do you want to get beat more than a fucking YouTube scam?
That's why people... oh, I know. That's why Jake Paul, he went to the latest UFC fight and everyone's going, fuck Jake Paul. And they're all leading into him because everyone's talking about Jake Paul. Here's the thing. Jake Paul could actually box a little bit. That's the problem. It's you're not just going to beat the shit out of these YouTube guys, but they don't want to fight regular boxers or boxers in their prime.
Right.
They're picking out big names that have big followings.
It makes sense.
But then imagine.
Do you have to buy this fight? Yeah. And how much are they being paid for this fight? How much are they each
making? Probably.
And how much will they make if they win?
I would say Floyd Mayweather is probably going to make 10 million.
40 million?
Maybe 20. Maybe 20. And Logan Paul would make, I think, half that.
What did Rose Namajunas Rose Namajunas make on the fight that she won last weekend? Do we know, Aunt Noah, how much these people are making? Because I hope a lot, because, obviously she has tons of endorsements and is making so much money, but I wonder how much she made. Let's see worth. I know these things don't actually say what they're worth.
Well, here's the thing. UFC is notorious for underpaying.
1 million.
For underpaying their fighters. But the idea is that UFC will promote
I
you.
I have it.
Oh, what is it?
What'd you make? So on UFC 261, she made $182,000. It was $100,000 to show, $50,000 for performance.
No, that wasn't the latest one.
The night, but
that had to have been an old fight. There's no way she only made $150,000.
$182,000.
I mean, that is so bad. If that was the same fight, 261, right?
Yeah, UFC 261. Really?
That was Saturday, April 24th. Hold on, that was last weekend. That is so alarming. I know that sounds like a lot to a lot of people, but that to me, in terms of how famous that fight was and how many people tuned in, that is no money.
Dude,
she's probably made money off endorsements, yeah.
But still, like, you know, pro football, like the people that are at her level in other sports are making salaries of millions plus endorsements.
Oh,
so, it's larger companies.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather made over $1 billion boxing. Like,
right. Okay.
But
so it's there. She's fine. I'm not worried about it.
No, but that's that is insanely low, if you ask me. I think so.
That rate seems crazy.
There's more fights on the card. Yeah, so anyways, but the Paul brothers, they figured out a way to, like, really piss off these UFC guys, which it's kind of fun to see these, like, guys that are, their asses are kissed
I've
so much.
I've never watched a Paul brother. Are you entertained by them, or are they just, like, I know he was the one that went into that Japanese forest and, like,
that was,
like, whoa.
Yeah, that was Logan Paul, yeah. He said the suicide guy. But, no, they're, like... No, they're not that entertaining, to be honest. They're not. Pete Davidson actually was on. He went on the Jake Paul Ben Askren fight, and he told Jake Paul he wants him to win. And then he talked to the other fighter and just completely roasted and trashed Jake Paul.
Send me that clip. I want to hear about those jokes.
Can I make a quick correction? So her total payout was $310,000.
Still not enough. Trying to get these numbers. That's bullshit. Thank you, Noah. But that is seriously, that really shocks me, and I'd like some clarity on that. If you have any, send it into UFC payment clarity as the subject at the Nikki Glaser podcast at Gmail, and Noah will read that and educate us about what these people are really making. And if it's kind of bullshit compared to other, you know, sports leagues. Let's get to the blankest thing. This is the segment where we... share the blankest thing we've ever done. And every time we do it, it changes. Last time it was the grossest thing we've ever done. We both shared stories. You guys sent in your own. We read some of those later. So today's topic, Noah, will you let us know what we'll be revealing today? The blankest thing. What's the blank today?
The blankest is the most out of the box thing I've ever done.
The most out of the box, unlike yourself thing. Mm. That does not go with, if someone was looking at your life and read a biography of you, if this detail was left out and they read it later, they'd go, this does not go along with what this person does. Now, let me say, based on Sam Harris's free will, nothing you do is out of character. Everything is, if you did something truly out of character, it would make everyone put you away in an insane asylum, but maybe that's something on here. Anyway, all of the things I was thinking of are actually in my character, but they're little pieces that they're more my character than anything, actually, because they're what I've always wanted to do and only moments have let myself actually do. So, Andrew, I'd love to start with you and find out what's the most out of character thing you've ever done.
Here's the thing. I was confused. I thought it was out of the box things that have happened to us, not things that we actually did. So,
okay.
Can
I give you mine for you that was out of character that I witnessed that you did? Because I also suggested we share things that we've noticed in each other. As like, I feel like I know you so well. When I saw you did this, I was like, whoa.
Well, here's an out-of-box thing. No, you can't.
There we go. Not letting me do what I tell you I'm going to
do. Do it.
That is hilarious, thank you. That was really, really good. I hope everyone's laughing or at least going, that was good, to yourself right now. Thank you, besties, for having our backs. I will say that... when you shared with me, actually at the very same beach I am looking out on now, we went to this beach one day for a shoot and you were with me.
I know where you're going.
And we wrapped early, which means we got done with the shoot early, but they were still shooting other stuff. And we went down the beach a little bit and went in the ocean for the first time because this beach was a lot nicer than the one we were staying at. And we were in the water and it was the sunset and I left to go get some food because I was like starving. And I left you in the ocean during sunset, like by yourself. Cause I had been in enough. We had done like a race. I'd shown you my butterfly. I'd shown off enough. I'd got it. So
I won
in.
The race.
Yeah. You won the freestyle race, but my butterfly is really impressive.
It is.
And that's out of character. You are much faster at freestyle than I ever thought you could be. And I thought I'm not that good at freestyle, but I still didn't think you would be as fast as me, but you're way faster. Same with the sprint too. Andrew's a great athlete. My butterfly probably looks better though, but that's only because but you probably still beat me in butterfly.
No, I couldn't.
Anyway, I left you alone. And what happened?
I was sitting there in the ocean. It was the first time I really had some time to myself. We were together a ton or we were on set a ton. And it was the first time I was in the ocean water since I've been there. And the sun was setting, and I started to think about my mother, who's sick, who has COPD. She has emphysema, which means her lungs are not working because she smoked for 30 years, cigarettes. And I just started to get real emotional thinking that my mom couldn't, like, travel to a foreign country again because she loved to travel. And she essentially couldn't be sitting in that ocean experiencing this with me or experiencing it for herself. Now, the rub is...
And wait a second. Nope, but you cried.
I teared up, yes. I'm not going to say... I have cried before, but I wasn't... Like, I wasn't... And I'm not like...
But your eyes welled up.
My eyes welled up. A tear fell.
I've seen your eyes well up before. A tear did fall into the salty sea.
Yes, a tear fell, and I believe it killed a seahorse, probably.
It's so much anger in it and toxicity. Of your resentment towards your mom for smoking for so long. That the seahorse got COPD.
Yeah, the seahorse got seahorse POD.
Conspiracy. Okay, we only have 2 minutes left.
So anyway, so I was like crying a little bit. And then you go, well, God, did your mom love the ocean? I was like, no.
She lives in Florida. She never goes in the water. So he was crying about his mom never going in the ocean again. And she never goes in the ocean.
She hates the ocean.
It was so funny. We were crying laughing about the idea that you were crying about your mom going in the ocean. I understand it was I understand exactly what you're coming from. Your mom did love to travel, and it's like, it was a beautiful moment, but it was just so cute that you were thinking. And then we started joking that like everything could remind him of his mom not being able to do things. We were watching Mean Girls, and in the scene where Regina George gets hit by a bus, Andrew's like, I go, are you crying? And he goes, yeah, I just realized my mom will never get
And that's something she loved to do.
I mean, you guys, if you have someone in your life who's dying and like you're losing, like they're scared of losing them and they'll never do this again, truly make yourself laugh by thinking of all the things that would be hilarious. Like they'll never, you know,
slip on a banana peel. They'll never.
Yes. They'll never, well, fall in the showers, I was going to say, but they'll probably do that. And that's probably how you'll lose them. So my thing that I mean, I was going to ask you to answer this since we only have 2 minutes left and that's how we're kind of doing
nice
this one.
Be nice to me the last 6 days?
The last 6 days?
Yeah.
Wait, truly, like, can you think of something where you're like, whoa, that was so out of character? Because I think this is more interesting than me being like, oh, I did Dancing with the Stars.
I think out of character.
Because we know each other better than I feel. You know me as
I think
well
out of character for you, and I kind of brought it up on this podcast before, is like literally right before I left, you just really taking the time to get to meet like the people that worked on the show. And I think you might have been starved from that because you weren't allowed to talk to those people or whatever. But like, I don't know, like before, just you reaching out and like really being social with like not comics. And I just thought that was out of character for you. And maybe I don't know
That's what always surprised me, because you were always like, Nikki, like, you got to meet other people. You got to go out and meet people other than comics. And I'd always go, Andrew, all my friends are not comics. Like, you're my only comic friend. And then like, but the people I talk to on a daily basis are not comics. And you'd go, but they're people you met through work. And I'm like, but how else do people meet? Like, you meet through work. Like, how am I supposed to just meet people? But yeah, I mean, I am very social. I have no problem going up to people, very interested in people's lives. Don't care if they know me or not. Like, people are surprised that I can be, especially as I get more famous and people think I'm like famous or whatever that is. Like, it's always very sweet to hear that people are like, oh, you're actually like a nice person. And I think that anyone reading this podcast or reading this, if you're reading this podcast, good
you're
for you.
Probably
that's a lot.
Deaf.
But people get that. I do feel like I'm a nice person, but I can be very, very bad and very ugly and very, you know, physically ugly and like a bad person. And I can think terrible thoughts and wish terrible things that I can't even begin to admit to you all, or to myself, the things I've thought and wanted to happen, to people that I've not liked. But generally I try to live a life where I want everyone to be as happy as possible. For me with Andrew, that's a really struggle for me. Sometimes I just want to treat you like my little brother and like challenge you to be better and like be mean to you so that it makes me feel better. I mean, it all comes from the ugliest place. So the fact that I'm able to be nice to you now, it's easier for me, is really stupid that it took me that long, but it is.
Does it truly feel easier to you? Or is it like,
yeah, it's like, I don't try to be nicer to you. I just like you more.
What do you think? Did I do something different, you think, or no?
No, it's me. It's always been me. It's always like, if someone is being mean to you, it's not like you can't control it because it's always coming from their insecurities. Moving into the final thought of the show, I mean, this is some serious shit here that I'm admitting, but whenever Andrew and I have gotten into like disagree or like come to a head of like, you're mean to me kind of thing, or like, you're not pleasant for me to be around, you're a nightmare, like I walk on eggshells because, you know, you make fun of me and then everyone around is trying to please you, so they start making fun of me and it's not even good, and it's just like whatever. I mean, you could speak to it a little bit. Like, I can be a real mean, I can be a bully to you sometimes.
Yeah,
a lot
I
of
think
times
it just
in the
I
past.
Think we just, dude, I mean, coming back here, we were together in the Cayman Islands more than married couples, more than, yes, more than really any, yeah, brother and sister even. Like, we quarantined together for 2 weeks. We lived together. We went to work together. We were in a car together. We were on an island together. You know what I mean? Like so the
that
idea
doesn't excuse it.
Yeah, but I,
because I don't want to even treat my husband or someone I live with or my kids the way that sometimes I was compelled to be mean to you because I was so miserable in my own head. Like, it was all, whenever Andrew would do something, I essentially, and I think this is like an interesting place to get to, when I bully Andrew sometimes for saying words wrong or for doing a joke that is so stupid it's like makes him look a little bit dumb and maybe didn't kill because it was like not that funny or people weren't ready for it, it was too weird, he takes a risk that I'm just like, and I want to make fun of him for doing that or saying the word wrong because I am scared to take those kinds of chances. I'm scared to say a word that I might say wrong. So I don't say the word, I choose a different word. So I even risk being wrong, which means I'll never learn how to be right, which is not a good, you should take risks like Andrew. I'm jealous of Andrew taking these comedic risks where he does a character or does something really like crazy and everyone's like, what the fuck is this? But some people laugh and others, sometimes it fails. Now the thing is, when it fails, I like to make fun of you because to me it validates, Nikki, keep not taking those risks because when you fail, look how embarrassing it looks and look how much people make fun of you, i.e. you making fun of Andrew. So you're right, Nikki, to not take chances. So it reinforces to myself not to be like you, but really it's my own insecurity. It has nothing to do with you doing this dumb thing that just maybe embarrassed you. The fact of the matter is, that's what makes you so special, is the fact that you will say things that are maybe inappropriate. And that's what makes me so special. But you take it an extra step that I'm too scared to take it. You have a little bit more freedom with that. And I want to squash that because I'm threatened by it, because it's, I know that it will make you funnier and maybe leave me and not become my friend and go do things without me. And it will also, it also then validates to me when I make fun of you that Nikki, you're doing the right thing. So that was tough for me to realize, but that is exactly why I'm mean to you when you A, say regular, or B, do a bit that goes nowhere and I have to make fun of you for it, because all my bits go somewhere, because I only choose bits that I know will go somewhere because I don't ever take a risk. But by not taking a risk, you don't grow.
Yeah, I think like, and you know, I, in a way that was a compliment and I appreciate it. Like, but
I hope it wasn't, I wasn't
no,
trying to be
no,
rude.
No, no,
like,
I
you are,
I wasn't,
that's what
I'm
you're
not being
so-
sarcastic, but I think like, and I'm in so in awe of you when you were working on this show and like the strength it takes to like get in. I can't wait till we could actually talk about the show and we could get into detail of it, but your work ethic, your ability to think on the fly, your ability to write well and concise and brilliantly is incredible. And I do learn from it. And you make me better. And that's why I stay. Not because you give me money or because of whatever this shit is. Because here's the thing. I come from money. I could go back to
but
my...
Also,
no. But I'm just saying, like,
yeah, I get
my
that.
My point is, like, I come from, like, I could do other things, but I don't want to do it because I love our friendship and I love being around you just because you make me better. And I know that sounds cheesy,
same,
but it is true.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for me too, is like, you teach me to be more free and to be sillier and to like, and because you, when you say the dumbest things, the top of, off the top of your head, sometimes they're like so brilliant, it's like astounds me. And sometimes they're so dumb, I like can't, I'm astounded by how dumb they are. But either way, like, it teaches me to be more free and not care about what people think as much, or like dance to make a joke as opposed to like doing a perfectly worded bit. Like, not all comedy has to be like this precious thing. And actually the best comedy isn't that. The best comedy is people taking risks and actually not caring what the outcome's going to be.
And, it, and it's so, not just about comedy, it's also, just our lives. Really, it's just our lives, like,
no,
every
but also,
day.
We, I mean, if each of us wasn't brilliant in our own way, we probably wouldn't be attracted to living together and working together, because obviously we get those things from each other. Like, I have you on my show because you're funny, not because you're like someone I can make fun of the way you talk. Like, that's not it for me. But I also think that we hang out as much because we also like bring out the best in each other. Like, I would hope, as much as I have bullied you in the past, I think that I try to build you up, and I hope that I do, and I'll do better about it in the future, because this is the kind of conversations that remind me to get back to that place of like being proud of him and being like, okay, I have him around for a reason because he's great to have around. And we like emotionally off air definitely support one another and like are really good friends to one another emotionally.
I think if you asked me like a year ago,
even though I make fun of you when you cry about your mom,
look, she'll swim again one day in
okay
heaven.
We gotta go, but a year ago,
it's not even that good.
A year ago, you don't think this could have happened, because we were fighting all the time when when you were in New York and I was in St. Louis.
No, my point is, okay, even before that, when I was in New York and we were on the road and stuff, I felt like I had such a narrow lens of life where I felt like I could not live without you in my life because I'd be a failure and everyone credited my success to you, right? But now I feel like I'm staying not because of outside pressure. It's because I want to be here. And it's not because of what I think people would want me to do, essentially.
And I had to look at myself and look at the way I treated you to realize that this guy doesn't need to stick around forever. So if whatever relationship you're in, whether it's romantic or friendship, if the person will eventually leave you, if you don't work on the things that are wrong with your relationship, whether they're little or big, like, you have to work on them. Like, when I'm mean to Andrew, I'm in a state where like my brain cannot shut off and look at it logically, but hopefully when my brain calms down, I can go, listen, bud, that was not cool, and I apologize. And then we could start over, because apologizing is great if you really believe what you're saying. So try to get there, everyone. We got to go. Have a great weekend. Write into the show, the Nikki Glaser Pod at Gmail. Follow us on Instagram. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, get your friends into the show. Tell them they can just jump in. They don't need to listen to back episodes. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. And thank you so much for listening. I am so touched by all the DMs, all the messages that I see, like all the love, the fact that we have thousands of followers on our private account. I'm like, I can't believe, I'm always astonished people enjoy the things I do, and especially on a daily basis. And so it means a lot. And I can't wait for the show to even get better based on your feedback and your support. It means so much to me. I truly think we have the best fans, and I've never been able to say that until this podcast. Like, the people that listen to this podcast are the best people. So keep introducing the best people in your life to this podcast who you think would enjoy it, because I think we'll all get a lot out of it. So share it, just because I want to put out more good in the world, not because it's going to make me more money. I really don't care about that. Like, I just want people to have fun and feel good. Any other thoughts? Okay, I've done a million final thoughts. We have to go. Thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Keep sending me wart videos. I'm not kidding. I'm really into them. And I love you. Bye, besties.
I don't know what to do with that.